I didn't make it to Limud this year, unfortunately. I generally am always there. But I did see that Aviva Deutsch, a British poet, academic, curator, and publisher of Jewish Renaissance magazine, she was there giving an incredible lecture, which really interested me, Unlocking the Jewishness of William Kentridge. I thought, what could be better than chatting to Aviva about that issue? Aviva, thanks for being my guest on Chai FM this afternoon.
It's an absolute pleasure. And funnily enough, Limud was a trial. I'm actually speaking to you from the Yorkshire Sculpture Park, where Kentridge has an exhibition on at the moment. And I just gave an expanded version of that lecture about 2 hours ago. So just apologies if there's a bit of noise in the background, but I'm surrounded by people visiting Kentridge's exhibition as we talk.
How fantastic. And I've got a massive smile on my face hearing that. And I want you to summarize and tell. But before we even get to Kentridge, I want to know, how was your time in South Africa? What was your response to your visit?
Oh, it was unbelievably amazing. It was my first time in Africa, not even South Africa.
Oh, wow.
So allegedly, I was there to work, teaching at Durban and Cape Town and Johannesburg. But no, we had an amazing time. The Limud team took us on all sorts of adventures. So we went to Soweto, we walked up Cape Point, we went to safari in KwaZulu-Natal.
So you'll be back, is what you're saying.
Time.
You'll be back.
If you invite me, I will bite your hand off to come.
Aviva, that's the fun part out of the way. Let's get serious. William Kentridge, why? Give me the background. What's your connection to Kentridge? What drew you to explore his work through a Jewish lens?
So I think the most significant thing for me was there was a big exhibition of his work at the Royal Academy in London in 2018, which I went to and I absolutely fell in love with what he was doing there. But it also really resonated with me. And there were so many kind of thoughts and questions I had. And I then actually last year I took a group to see an exhibition at the Towner in Eastbourne, which had his animations. And so I've been getting more and more interested. But in 2024, William Kentridge gave the Oxford Lectures, which is a series of kind of public lectures at the university. And in them, he chose to talk about his Jewishness.
Interesting.
And we did an interview with him for the magazine afterwards and asked why, because he's not talked that much about his Jewishness before. And he said that he felt comfortable doing it in Britain because he thought Britain was the land of genteel anti-Semitism.
Wow, what a comment.
Yeah. So he'd been talking about when he was young, he read Daniel Gironda by George Eliot, where an assimilated Jew finds out he's Jewish late in life. And he knew about Benjamin Disraeli, the prime minister who converted to become a politician. So I thought this was all really, really interesting. But it was kind of my way into going, well, who is he? What is he? Why should he matter? And I think he should matter to the Jewish community because he's one of the most significant contemporary artists in the world, and he's one of ours.
So let's talk about those Jewish influences. What did you discover in his art?
So there are the very obvious things, and then actually for me, one of the most interesting things are the more kind of subtle nuances. I mean, to start with the obvious, there's a lot of work where he's alluding to other Jewish artists. He's in the tradition of people like Chaim Soutine, who is a contemporary of Chagall's in Paris and contemporary of Modigliani. He uses the work a lot of Philip Guston, an American Jewish civil rights artist. So that was very obvious to me. There were also kind of all the family stories. You know, he's done exhibitions in Lithuania. He's brought images of his grandfather in particular into his work. And he comes from this incredibly interesting Lithuanian South African Jewish family. But then there are all the, not so much hidden, but allusions. You know, I was very lucky to meet him. And I was talking to him about one of the animations, and he kind of throws in, well, I was thinking about the Seder, and that is because of Pharaoh's dream and the fat cows and the thin fat cows. And when I'm talking about AIDS in South Africa, I'm thinking about the history of starvation in the Bible. You know, there are actually all these biblical allusions that we just don't notice because the artistic world actually don't know them and don't recognize them.
There's a lot to digest in what you've just said.
Got
to think about that. No, it's I mean, living here with the stark contrast that we just have to deal with every day, it is almost biblical. And it's never occurred to me to use those terms. So it's resonating with me quite strongly what you're talking about. Lots to digest there.
I mean, the thing for me about Kentridge is that there is lots to digest. So I just, when I was talking about his work this morning, I talked about it as a Talmud page. You know, you have the drawing in the center,
yes,
almost like you have the Mishnah and Gemara,
yes,
and then all the voices and allusions on the outside, but they're all present simultaneously. So when he draws a tree, it might be a South African oak tree, but he also talks about it as the tree of life, as the tree of knowledge. It's the wood that his paintbrush is made of. It's the burnt wood that becomes the charcoal when he draws in black and white.
Absolutely.
And that, for me, is what makes him such a Jewish artist. You know, it's not the fact he's thinking of all these things Jewishly, but also that both and, that's such a Jewish way of being.
I'm circling back somewhat, but it is interesting that you mentioned, he said that the anti-Semitism in the UK was a genteel sort of anti-Semitism.
Mm-hmm.
It's arguable that since the 7th of October and recently, it's not quite so genteel anymore. And one wonders, you know, to what extent him being Jewish and being publicly Jewish will affect the reception of his work. You say that the Yorkshire Sculpture Park is now showing his exhibition, The Pull of Gravity. How's it been received?
It's been received incredibly well. I mean, the group that I talked to this morning is actually a group of subscribers to our magazine, Jewish Renaissance, but we're surrounded here by lots of non-Jewish art lovers. And I think the interesting thing is, I was looking very much about all the commentary, and there is nothing that I could find that mentions explicitly his Jewishness. So it's that case of, if you know, you know. And it's one of the reasons I think he's talking about it more, you know, almost in spite of, or to spite, you know, the fact that it is an element of his work that has been ignored or quietly pushed aside. It's his 70th birthday this year, so he's been giving a series of interviews. He did The Guardian, he did The New York Times, he did The Financial Times, he did The Daily Maverick in South Africa. And interestingly to me, in all of them, he mentioned his Jewishness, and I've not seen him do that before. So, yeah, I think there's a kind of, we are still here, and it's important to recognize that.
It is just so incredibly interesting. They talk about the phenomenon of the post-October the 7th Jew, and maybe we're just seeing it more and more from places we never expected it. That's for sure. Tell me about the Jewish Renaissance magazine, which you're very involved with. You're a publisher. I know nothing about it. Just tell me about that publication.
Okay. So I will do, but actually I'm going to link it to your post October the 7th Jew, because we've changed what we do almost in response to October the 7th and the anti-Semitism in its wake. So we've been a long-term magazine. I mean, we started in 2001, so we're heading towards our 25th anniversary, and we're the leading Jewish arts and culture publication in the UK and Europe. But we're now also going international, and every quarter we do a big feature on a different Jewish community around the world. So our most recent magazine, that 8-page feature was on South Africa, you'll be pleased to hear. So I brought copies to Limerick. But we are transitioning, because for 25 years we've reported on Jewish culture. You know, we've done listings and reviews, but we think it's now really important to not just be creating Jewish culture, but giving Jewish artists a home, because we're finding a lot of emerging Jewish artists and theatre makers and writers, filmmakers, are not having such an easy time in the wider world. So actually we now, in addition to the magazine and to our program and tours, we're running a series of programs for emerging Jewish creatives as well.
Quite incredible that that's where we've got to. You know, one of the stories that I was going to talk about a little later on in the show today, I didn't intend to bring it up now, but it's just interesting to me, and it ties up to what you're saying, that more than 1,200 actors, directors, and film professionals, including Olivia Colman, there are a whole bunch of British artists who have signed, Miriam Margolyes and the like, signed a declaration calling for the boycott of anything related to Israel from an art or cultural perspective. You're playing in a very difficult space, Aviva, a very difficult space.
I know that. I mean, not just me, but we all are, those of us who are Jewish creatives. And I work in both the Jewish world and also in the wider arts world. And I think for me, I personally am a poet, but I keep using the Kentridge model. So we talked about Kentridge's drawings in charcoal being black and white, but he works in charcoal because he's interested in the blurring in between. You know, when you rub charcoal, you get erasures, you get blurring. You know, the Jewish space in South Africa is the space between the black and white. It's we have a complicated history. And when I'm talking to the arts world, this is what I keep saying. You know, I don't think polemic and boycotts help. Life is complicated, particularly the situation in Israel is complicated. A lot of the Jewish artists and creatives are the ones who are challenging the most right-wing powers. So actually to rob them of their power by boycotting them is incredibly problematic. So, I mean, we have a difficult job because the world doesn't like nuance. It's much easier to speak ideological polemics. But actually, the artist's job really is to explore that nuance and complexity. And that's what we're trying to do in the magazine. We're trying to support complex depictions of what's going on. We're trying to support peace initiatives. We did some work with the curator of the museum at Kibbutz Be'eri. But we've also done projects which look at Jewish and Palestinian children doing poetry together. So that's what I think we should be doing, not boycotting and shouting.
That's a really good place to leave it this afternoon. Aviva Deutsch, thank you for talking to me on Chai FM.
Thank you for having me.